You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 10th of May 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I do apologise for there being no Daily Nationalists last week. I had a few health issues that needed taking care of. Hopefully things will be back to normal this week. There won't be an audio insurgency on Thursday because I did not have enough time to find any new music last week, and rather than put out a substandard episode without every tune on there being 10 out of 10, I thought it would be best to leave that for a week. So there won't be an audio insurgency this week, but there should be a Truthful Out Radio on Friday. Unfortunately, we won't have an Orthodox Nationalist this week. Dr. Johnson is away this week, so I will be here on my own on Thursday with the Daily Nationalist as well. So I guess really next week we will be back completely to normal, but at least there will be Daily Nationalist podcasts for you this week anyway. Well, I wanted to talk today about something that has happened in Britain the week before. I was talking about this preacher that was arrested on the streets simply for quoting verses from Genesis about how man was created, male and female created he them, and how our legal system is based on common law, and common law is based on biblical law, it's based upon Christian law. And how in the courts, when you swear an oath to tell the truth, you swear that oath on the Bible, because the Bible is supposed to be the revealed truth. And yet in 2021, we are seeing people arrested for quoting the Bible, for speaking the truth. And over the weekend, we had a report on a similar thing happening to a preacher at school. A school secretly reported its chaplain to the Anti-Terrorism Prevent Programme after he delivered a sermon defending the right of pupils to question its introduction of new LGBT policies. This is where we are at now. It is considered by some people to be terrorism when you are just talking about simple Christian morals, the morals that the country is built upon, the morals that Christendom was built upon, the morals that are foundational to our civilization. To support those morals and speak about them now runs the risk of being accused of terrorism. That's what has happened with this creep. From these speech laws, clamping down and restricting people's right to free speech, we have crept from that, from this idea that people should not be allowed to incite others to such an amount of hatred that they might go out to kill somebody. We've gone from that, which you could say, well, that's quite sensible. You don't want people to be able to say something that somebody else might interpret in such a way that it gets them so angry they might want to kill someone. But even that, you can say, well, you should be responsible for your own actions. It's not a defense to say somebody else told me to do this, so I decided to do it. Unless they're actually threatening you with violence to do something, it's your own responsibility. So even that really shouldn't be a part of our law, but it is a part of our law, and that's why it was brought in, because they said that it is possible that somebody could be incited to go out and kill somebody by telling them bad things about the minorities or what have you. So we've gone from that to simply saying anything that might hurt the feelings of ethnic minorities or any other minority, and that being hate speech. And now we've gone from that to simply not agreeing with LGBT policies is now considered by some to be terrorism. So you can see this creep that's happened, this mission creep, I guess you could call it, from this original law. And now we have a pastor who has been reported to prevent simply for saying that pupils should have the right to question, criticise, critique, investigate LGBT policies. The Reverend Dr. Bernard Randall told pupils at Independent Trent College near Nottingham that they were allowed to disagree with the measures, particularly if they felt they ran contrary to Church of England principles. And surely this is what pupils should be taught. They should be taught to question everything. They should be taught to investigate everything. They should be taught to form their own opinions and not to just repeat whatever they are told. I know that when I was at school, I wasn't taught to just repeat things. The teachers wanted me to investigate things and to come out with my own point of view, to show that I had fully understood something and I understood the implications of it. It now seems that schooling today is just teaching people to repeat whatever they've been told. And a large portion of the schooling is based on social engineering and trying to get people to go against their instincts. Because instinctually, when we see things such as two males with a child, instinctively when we see that, something about that seems off. And that is because our instinct tells us that there's something that's not right about that. And the reason why is because there's a risk that those two males could be abusing that child. And yet we are told today that it's that we can have two males together and a child, and that's a family, and it's two fathers. And in some cases, everything might be perfectly fine. But in other cases, as we know, as has been documented, we had two homosexuals in Australia that adopted a child, and they abused that child, and they took that child all around Asia to other pedophiles to abuse. And yet these two homosexuals were poster boys for gay marriage, and everybody was told, oh no, you have to ignore your instincts because love is love, and it's the equivalent of heterosexual marriage. But if people had obeyed their instincts, that child would never have been abused. And even if you are going to do all of this and have your homosexual marriage and allow homosexuals to adopt children, we should still be able to discuss this. We should still be able to point out the negative side of it. We should not be told, you're not allowed to talk about the negative side of it. You can only talk about the positive side of it. And this cuts in with the religious teachings here, because in Christianity and in Islam, homosexuality is not a part of God's plan. It is condemned by God. An entire city was destroyed by God for indulging in sodomy. We're told in the New Testament that sodomy is sent down as a punishment for people who do not have a sufficient zeal for the truth. And I'm paraphrasing there. It's quite clear that the God of Christianity and the God of Islam is against homosexuality. And if we have freedom of speech and if we have freedom of religion, we need to be free to discuss that. Obviously, you shouldn't be free to violently attack homosexuals or anything like that. And obviously, I would completely condemn anything like that. In fact, I would condemn being anything other than polite and courteous to them. But we should be able to have this discussion. We should be able to point out why it is that we think that we shouldn't be celebrating LGBT issues, and why we think that they shouldn't be seen as the equivalent of heterosexual issues. And that's just the sort of thing that should be discussed in a school. and the proponents of the LGBT curriculum should be happy for that. They should be happy to be able to discuss their point of view, and because if their point of view is correct and it is the right one, then they will be able to persuade the pupils that that is the right view to have. And that's the correct way to do this. But instead, they're trying to censor these views. Having decided that Dr. Randall's sermon was harmful to LGBT students, the school flagged him to Prevent, which normally identifies those at risk of radicalization. I should imagine that Dr. Randall was a little bit old to be flagged up to Prevent. Prevent normally deals with teenagers and school children. But I guess they weren't quite sure where else to take this. Police investigated the tip-off, but advised the school by email that Dr. Randall, at 48 years old, posed no counter-terrorism risk or risk of radicalization. And I guess what they mean there is he poses no terrorism risk rather than no counter-terrorism risk, because counter-terrorism is obviously what Prevent are involved in. Derbyshire Police confirmed that the case did not meet the threshold for a Prevent referral. "I was terrified when I found out," recalls Dr. Randall. "I had visions of being investigated by MI5, of men coming to my house at dawn and knocking down the front door. What was I supposed to tell my family? It was crazy." And this is what happens with speech crimes. You do literally have an entire team of police that turn up at your house at the crack of dawn and break their way in, and they take every electronic device that you have, and they will go through your books, and they will go through everything that you own, and they will take whatever they want to take simply because of something you said, simply because somebody disagreed with a government policy, simply because somebody said something that one of these members of these groups with protected characteristics might not take too kindly to, might see as being insulting, say, or might see as being offensive. And that is considered reason enough to use the same weight of the state that is used for counter-terrorism against somebody for simply having a different opinion to the one that is promoted by the establishment. So his concern here is a very valid concern. He could quite conceivably have had the police knocking down his front door and taking all his devices in order to investigate them. Thankfully, that didn't happen. "I had gone to such lengths in the sermon to stress we must respect one another no matter what, even people we disagree with. I am not ashamed to say I cried with relief when I was told that the report to Prevent was not going to be taken further." And this is another point with this. When you get these preachers and they're talking about homosexuality, they're not talking about it because they want to offend homosexuals. They're talking about it because they love homosexuals and they think that homosexuals are harming themselves by engaging in the behavior that they do. And they want to tell them that it's not a part of God's plan. And they want to tell them, give them examples of why it's not a part of God's plan, and they want to help them to not be homosexual. None of what they do comes from a position of hate. None of what they do comes from a position of wanting to incite people to hate homosexuals. It's all about trying to help homosexuals. And again, this is how our law has become so twisted out of shape, that somebody who is doing what they do out of love for other people can then be accused of hating. And what we see here is this preacher had gone to great lengths in his sermon to talk about respecting everybody else, respecting everybody's point of view, not being a bigot, and yet he is still reported to Prevent for this, because it's the people that are actually doing this to the preacher that are the bigots. You're a bigot if you refuse to listen to somebody else's point of view. And that is what is going on with this school here. They are refusing to listen to the preacher's point of view. And it's not the preacher's point of view that he's putting across. It's the traditional Christian morals that he is trying to put across. And it's a Christian school. And that's what he was there to do. He's there to talk about Christianity to the pupils. And yet when he does that, he's reported to Prevent. In a disturbing development, Dr. Randall, a former Cambridge University chaplain and Oxford graduate, claims that the school later told him that any future sermons would have to be censored in advance. I mean, what does the school think he's going to be talking about here? He's going to be talking about things from the Bible. So what they're saying is that the Bible is now hate speech. The Bible is now homophobic and must be censored. What the school are saying is we know better than God. We want to censor what God has said because we know more than God. I mean, how arrogant is that? He also claims that he was warned his chapel services would be monitored to ensure that requirements are met. Dr. Randall was later dismissed. He is suing for discrimination, harassment, victimization, and unfair dismissal, and his case is due to be heard next month. My career and life are in tatters, he said. And the good thing about this is that it is getting covered. There are at least three news stories in the Daily Mail about this. So attention is being drawn to it. But the problem is, this is just one in thousands. What about all the people who didn't get their stories in the newspaper, all the people who have had their lives ruined for saying that they believe in two genders on Twitter or on Facebook? I mean, it is good that this is being highlighted and attention is being drawn to it, but there are so many other people that this has happened to. Campaign has said the case was one of the most extraordinary of its kind and raised disturbing questions about freedom of speech. Former Education Minister Sir John Hayes said, if the claims are proved, the school has behaved appallingly. Well, I think the claims are proved, aren't they? Prevent was called on this teacher. And this, again, is another problem. The government make these laws. They say that they want to make these laws because these lobbying groups, minority activist groups, lobby the government and say, well, we want these laws because these laws will protect us from violence and they will protect us from terrorism. And the government make the laws. And then when the laws are actually applied, they don't end up preventing terrorism. They don't end up preventing minorities from being attacked. What they end up doing is things like this. They end up making what preachers say illegal. They end up making what it says in the Bible classed as terrorism or classed as hate speech. And the problem that we have is we don't have representatives in the same way as that these ethnic minority or just basic minority activist groups, they all have representatives that lobby the government. They all get money from the government for these groups and for these charities. And yet as white heterosexual men, we don't have anybody that advocates for us. We don't have any groups that speak up for us. We don't have anyone that goes to these meetings and says, well, the way this law could be applied and interpreted, it may end up discriminating against white heterosexual men. And we have nobody there that is saying that, because when we try to get together with our advocacy group in the same way as all the other groups in society are encouraged to, we get accused of being white supremacists and racists and neo-Nazis. And the same newspaper that is actually highlighting this with this preacher here, they will be some of the worst offenders at this in calling those of us who try to get these advocacy groups together all those slur words. And Dr. Randall's sermon delivered in the school chapel on June the 21st, 2019, was prompted, he says, by concerns from pupils about an organisation called Educate and Celebrate, run by a Dr. Ellie Barnes, which was invited to embed gender identity and sexual orientation into the fabric of the school. So it's his school pupils that have asked him to talk about this as well. They've said, we want some instruction on this. We want to know how it fits in with Christianity, what we're being told here about there being different genders and different sexual orientations. How can we square this with Christian teaching? I mean, it's a very valid subject for this preacher to be talking about. In the sermon, he said, you should no more be told you have to accept LGBT ideology than you should be told you must be in favour of Brexit or must be a Muslim. But he stressed the need to treat each other with respect. Several days later, he will tell the tribunal he was called to a meeting and told the sermon was inflammatory, divisive, and harmful to LGBT pupils. So simply because he's telling them that they don't have to accept this ideology, they don't have to accept the idea that homosexuality should be celebrated or gay adoption should be celebrated, that is inflammatory, divisive, and harmful to people. So they're now saying that it's harmful to people just to simply have a different opinion. They really are making it trying to make it a crime to have a different opinion to the one that is held by the establishment. And I don't like to say the majority there, because we don't know that it is held by the majority. What we do know is that these laws were not changed because the majority of people wanted to change them, and the establishment narrative wasn't changed because of that. What we do know is that the mainstream media and entertainment and everything else has pushed to change these things and pushed to change the public's perception of things like homosexuality. And we know that the government has a specific group, a nudge committee, which is tasked with social engineering. It is tasked with embedding characters into soap operas and television programs to give a certain appreciation of homosexuals and minorities. And this has been going on for 40 years now, when they had the first homosexual in EastEnders, when AIDS was happening, and we had all the AIDS adverts. And that was where they were trying to soften the public up, basically, to accept this change in the law, which goes against fundamental Christian values. And they've gone from that, from just subtly trying to change people's opinions, to now saying, if you dare to have a different opinion to us, we will class you as a terrorist. In one contentious passage, he said that it is perfectly legitimate to think that marriage should only properly be understood as being a lifelong exclusive union of a man and a woman. Indeed, that definition is written into English law. Though he neglected to say that same-sex marriage was made law in 2013, he would later point out that he was referring to Church of England canon law, which has the force of statute law. How can what he is saying there be seen as offensive? The Marriage Act, the consummation of the marriage, is the act that can give life, new life, to a human being. How does a homosexual marriage get consummated? I mean, what we're really talking about here is the marriage ceremony. And the state have said that homosexuals can go through a marriage ceremony and they can sign a contract and they can call themselves married and they can be married in the eyes of the state. But they're ignoring where the root of the word marriage comes from and the consummation of the marriage. And that's always what the word marriage meant. That's what it meant thousands of years ago, before we had written contracts and before we had church weddings and exchanges of rings and all those sorts of things. A marriage was simply having sex with somebody. If you had sex with somebody, you were married to them. In some cases, it was rape, and that was your wife. You would take the woman as booty, as it were. And obviously, we've come on some way from that. But you should be able to talk about these things. You shouldn't be told that you're not allowed to mention them. And if you mention them, you're a terrorist. And what he's pointing out here is truthful. It is a Church of England canon law that it's a lifelong exclusive union of a man and a woman. Dr. Randall only learned about the Prevent referral because it was mentioned in documents given to him ahead of a disciplinary hearing. I had visions of being investigated by MI5, of men knocking down the front door, he said. I came to another disciplinary meeting with many questions, one of them being, do you think the Church of England is a terrorist organisation? When it came to this point, I was told, no, we probably should have told you that the Prevent referral didn't meet the threshold. Interesting, isn't it? They didn't actually directly answer that. They were just looking at what the prevent referral thing is. If the prevent referral had said that it did meet the threshold, then they would have said, well, yes, we do think the Church of England is a terrorist organisation. There's no room here for independent thought, is there? I mean, these are supposed to be professionals as well. They're supposed to make decisions based upon the evidence rather than just following an ideology all the time. Following an investigation and disciplinary hearing, Dr. Randall was sacked for gross misconduct but then reinstated on appeal. However, he claims he was told that he must comply with 20 conditions regarding future sermons. He was reportedly banned from broaching any topic or expressing any opinion in chapel or more generally around school that is likely to cause offence or distress to members of the school body. Well, what about thieves? What about if you did a sermon against thieving? That might cause offence to somebody who had been caught thieving. What if he was to do a sermon on marriage and one partner, and you had a Muslim there that had came from a family with more than one mother, say, that could be offensive to them? You cannot go around trying not to cause offence. Obviously, we try not to cause offence, but not to the extent that you are not able to express your deepest held beliefs. And don't forget, this man's deeply held beliefs, as I pointed out earlier, are born out of a love and a concern for his fellow human beings. He's trying to tell people how to be better people. He's not trying to cause offence. And this is the point here. If somebody's not trying to cause offence and they're not trying to cause distress, then why? How can you see that what they are actually doing is wrong when it's a basic human right to express ourselves and to express our opinions on things? Another stipulation was that you will not publicly express personal beliefs in ways which exploit our pupils' vulnerability. Why would he be trying to exploit somebody's vulnerability? I guess what they mean there is if somebody says they're homosexual, he shouldn't be saying that there is ways to control your homosexual feelings and have a happy heterosexual life. I guess they're saying he's not allowed to say things like that. Future sermons had to be approved in advance with a staff member observing to ensure each stipulation was met, he claims. I see what has happened to me in Orwellian terms, he says. I was doing the job I was employed to do. I wasn't saying anything that I should not have been able to say in any liberal secular institution. Everyone should be free to accept or reject an ideology. Isn't that what liberal democracy means? And yes, it is. That is exactly what liberal democracy is. And only we're being told we should have a liberal democracy as far as allowing all these different things to go on, but we're not allowed to have a liberal democracy as far as being free to actually talk about it if you don't think it's a good thing. You're not allowed to have your own opinion if it differs from the establishment one. Dr. Randall will claim in his legal proceedings that his life was made intolerable for him, and in December he was made redundant. He says, "My story sends a message to other Christians that you are not free to talk about your faith. It seems it is no longer enough just to tolerate LGBT ideology. You must accept it without question, and no debate is allowed without serious consequences. Someone else will decide what is and what isn't acceptable, and suddenly you can become an outcast, possibly for the rest of your life." And that's the point. He's trying to do what the Bible tells him he should be doing. He's a preacher. He's preaching what the Bible tells him he should be preaching. And this school is telling him that they know better. Trent College has a Christian ethos, and Dr. Randall was appointed in 2015 to provide pastoral care, share the Christian faith, and lead services in the school's chapel. But he claims he found himself increasingly sidelined as the school began implementing the Educate and Celebrate program, and we will probably have a look at that tomorrow. We can also reveal that in legal proceedings against the school, it will be claimed that teachers were urged to chant "Smash Heteronormativity" during a training session. Dr. Randall was excluded from discussions about the programme when he said some of its beliefs were contrary to Christian values. Educate and Celebrate demands schools adopt a gender-neutral uniform policy and believes children should not refer to each other as boys and girls to avoid offending transgender pupils. Dr. Randall was reported to the local authority designated officer, apparently because the school felt he might be a risk to children. How insulting is that? Toby Young of the Free Speech Union said, "This is a fantastic sermon, reminding us no one has a monopoly on moral truth. For Bernard Randall to lose his job as a result of this sermon is scandalous. What is so depressing about his treatment is the message it sends to the pupils. The central theme of his sermon is that children should not be afraid to think for themselves, but the message the school has sent is the opposite. Schools should not be teaching children how to think, not what to think." And Andrea Williams, the chief executive of the Christian Legal Center, which is supporting Dr. Randall, said, "Who are the extremists in this story? The partisan agency who teach young children that they can be born in the wrong body? Or the school chaplain moderately presenting what the Christian church has taught about marriage, sex, and gender for the past 2,000 years. And the college declined to comment. Well, we will look some more at this, I think, tomorrow, but we will leave that there for today. Thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.